Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Thursday, May 25th, 2017. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Marchers Call for People First State Budget Resolution by Paul Sweech. Tawanda, Illinoisans are frustrated with nearly 2 years without a state budget. And that frustration was represented Wednesday by 15 people with strong voices and sore feet. Participants in a 200-mile march from Chicago to Springfield, advocating what marchers call a People and Planet First budget, stopped for lunch in Towanda on its way to a 7 p.m. Wednesday listening session at the Unitarian Universalist Church, 1613 East Emerson Street, Bloomington. People in Illinois are desperate for a budget, said Anna Segekuchi, 18, of Normal, who is participating in the entire event as its youngest marcher. We are a manifestation of the tension that everyone is feeling in Illinois, Segekuchi said at a Route 66 roadside park in Towanda. We're getting a lot of honks, and this morning people gave us money to support us, Tosha Mox, 40, of Stanford, said as the marchers neared Towanda. One Route 66 driver honked and another waved as she spoke. People know what we're doing, said Mox, who joined the marchers in Lexington and will be with them until they reach Funk's Grove on Thursday. Mox, wearing a green NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, shirt, said, This is important to us because mental health is one of the things affected by this budget crisis. We won't sit back and take this anymore, Mox said. We need a balanced budget that works for the people of Illinois. Sponsored by Fair Economy Illinois, which includes organizations such as Illinois People's Action, marchers are advocating changes that they say would raise $23.5 billion by closing corporate tax loopholes, $2.5 billion, passing a financial transactions tax on trading of futures and commodities in Chicago, $12 billion, and enacting a graduated income tax, $9 billion, meaning rich people would pay a higher percentage of their income for taxes than poor people. According to Christy Sanford, spokeswoman with Fair Economy Illinois, those changes would balance the budget with money left over. Because of tax breaks, two-thirds of Illinois corporations pay no income tax to the state, Sanford claimed. A progressive graduated income tax is used for federal income taxes, noted Segekuchi, who just completed her freshman year at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Millionaires and billionaires need to pay their fair share and not the same percentage as an elderly person on Social Security, said Segekuchi, a 2016 Normal Community West high school graduate, wearing a March to Springfield for a People and Planet First budget shirt. Segekuchi is marching because lack of state support is threatening schools, universities, and human services agencies. Education and mental health care are important to me, said Segekuchi, who has generalized anxiety. Also marching all 200 miles is Samantha Nichols, 24, a seminarian from Chicago who was a chaplaincy intern at Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal last summer. I'm sick and tired of living in a state without a budget, where elected officials on both sides capitulate to major corporations rather than tax the rich and pass a budget for Illinois, Nichols said. The Illinois Senate on Tuesday passed a budget, with all Democratic votes and no Republican votes, that calls for a 5% cut to nearly all state programs, increasing the personal income tax from 3.75% to 4.95%, increasing the corporate income tax from 5.25% to 7%, eliminating three corporate tax loopholes, and implementing a sales tax on some services. The budget goes to the House. But, Nichols said, the answer is not cuts and tax increases, but making the rich pay their fair share. This is day 10, Nichols said, of the march. My feet hurt, but it's hard not to be in good spirits because I'm around great people. And here's a related article headlined, Marchers' Proposal Faces Uphill Battle. Representatives of Illinois Leaders Not Optimistic About Group's Tax Plan by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. As marchers advocating for higher taxes for the rich made their way to Springfield this week, representatives of the three men who would need to support those changes before they could become law didn't sound optimistic. Marchers organized by Fair Economy Illinois want to close corporate tax loopholes, pass a financial transactions tax on futures and commodities, and enact a graduated income tax. Asked for thoughts on the group's proposals, Eleni Demertzis, with Republican Governor Bruce Rauner's office, wrote, "Governor Rauner believes our state needs a truly balanced budget with structural changes, including a property tax freeze, that will create jobs and grow the economy across our state." Steve Brown, spokesman with Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan, Democrat of Chicago, said he couldn't address specifics of the group's proposal. But he pointed out that Madigan had called for a 3% surcharge on millionaires, which is a move toward a progressive income tax. They, Fair Economy Illinois, are one of a growing list of people concerned about the destructive nature of Governor Rauner's tactics, Brown told the Pantograph. "Our goal, from 2015, is to get a full-year budget," Brown said. "It's difficult because of the non-budget issues mixed into the equation by the governor." "We're open to compromise," Brown added. John Patterson, spokesman for Senate President John Cullerton, Democrat of Chicago, said, "I appreciate their input and their involvement. We're trying for 2 years for a balanced budget." Patterson noted that the budget plan that passed the Senate on Tuesday, with no Republican votes, calls for closing three corporate tax loopholes, but does not call for a financial transactions tax. "A progressive income tax requires an amendment to the state constitution, and that amendment had a first reading in the Senate on Tuesday," he said. The next story is entitled, "BHS to Move Forward with Renovations. District 87 Board OKs Plan. Projects Won't Increase Tax Rates," by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. The Bloomington District 87 School Board on Wednesday authorized issuing debt certificates to finance $8 million in renovation and construction projects on the Bloomington High School campus, including an addition for the band program. Superintendent Barry Riley said, "We committed to doing this in a way that keeps the tax rate flat. Increased participation in music programs overall, especially in band, fueled the major part of the plan, a $3 million band room addition and renovation. The band and orchestra programs have been growing ever since the district began taking fifth graders to the junior high school for those programs 5 years ago." Riley noted that the freshman class in band and orchestra is about twice the size of the graduating senior groups, and continued growth is expected. The choir program also has been cramped for space. "These are all good problems," said Riley. "I'm a big believer in these fine arts programs," he said, adding that studies have shown music students do well in other areas, too. The choir will move into the current orchestra space. The orchestra will move into the current band space. The band will move into an 8,000-square-foot addition. The estimated cost for the choir and orchestra renovations is $514,000. Architect Russell Francois of Francois Associates said the addition is designed to make it easy for loading and unloading band equipment into trucks for travel. The east wall of the addition, which will face a parking area, will have large overhead doors, similar to garage doors. "When in the open position, you have a bit of a canopy," Francois said. "The parking lot becomes an amphitheater, but not sloped. We didn't go that far." Upgrading the high school's heating, ventilation, air conditioning controls will cost an estimated $2.3 million, but is expected to result in annual savings of about $200,000. The new digital controls will enable the district to adjust temperatures at night and weekends when the building isn't in use. Also included in the project is installation of multipurpose field turf on Fred Carlton Field, allowing it to be used more extensively for soccer and for junior high and high school classes. The cost of the turf project is estimated at $1.1 million. Band director Max Chernick, orchestra director Karen Monhart, and choir director Julie Sandy were involved in planning the project. Riley joked that the expansion is their fault. They built a real good program that kids are thriving in and parents want them participating in, he said. And here's another school story headlined, Unit 5 Budget Issues from Lax State Payments, by Julia Evelsizer. Normal. State Senator Jason Barrickman told the McLean County Unit 5 Board Wednesday that one of the reasons the district hasn't gotten all the state money it expects is because the current system favors the Chicago school system. We've gone 694 days without a complete budget from the state, said Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel. The state has an obligation to fund schools, and we have obligation to provide top-quality education. Beyond the ongoing budget impasse, the state also needs to reform how it allocates school funding, so each district gets its fair share, regardless of geography or local tax base, Barrickman said. The education community has strong beliefs that the current formula produces inequitable funding and unintended consequences, he said. There's sincere effort to fix that. Before Barrickman spoke during the meeting at Normal Community West High School, Unit 5 business manager Marty Hickman presented an amended budget for the 2016-17 fiscal year that shows a $5.5 million collective deficit in the transportation and education funds. The state owes Unit 5 $8.1 million in categorical payments for those two operating funds for the current fiscal year, which ends June 30th. Categorical payments are earmarked for specific functions. The state is supposed to make four payments each year. Unit 5 received one makeup payment this year for last year's funding obligation, but it has received no payments this fiscal year for those funds. We have done a good job of controlling the things we can control. If not for the lack of state payments, we wouldn't be in this deficit, said Hickman. In a letter presented to the board, Hickman said, There comes a time when school districts can stretch no further, and I fear we have reached that point. The missing payments will significantly erode our current fund balances, which are already too low. Hickman added that if the state fails to pass a budget for K-12 education and make timely payments, difficult decisions will need to be made. Barrickman said that because of a fixed block grant, Chicago public schools receive 30-40% of mandated categorical dollars, which is higher than that system's share of the state's students. That's an inappropriate use of state money, he said. Some legislators want to continue that practice, and I want to get rid of it. If we get rid of the block grant, the mandated categoricals for other Illinois districts would be fully funded. Barrickman said lawmakers from both parties in Springfield are fighting over ways to secure a fair funding formula that works for all districts. Board member Mike Trask said, It's disheartening to see important decisions being held up by partisan disagreements. My daughter is a special needs student who uses those services in the education fund every day. She doesn't know what a Republican or Democrat is. You're drawing lines in the sand, and we need to erase the sand, said Trask. Here's a story entitled, Restaurant Opens as Summer Kicks Off, Kayak Rentals Added at Moraine View Shop, by Lenore Sabota. Leroy. Kayak rentals have been added at Moraine View State Recreation Area as the new concession operators begin summer hours Friday. Summer hours at the new Moraine View Restaurant and Kayak Rentals will be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. Breakfast will be served all day, and lunch items will be available after 11 a.m. Denise Bilski, who will be operating the restaurant, boat rental, and bait shop with her husband, Enrique Lopez, said, "We're really excited. We feel the project has a lot of potential." She said they both have a background in recreation management with the Cook County Forest Preserve District. "We're sticking with a traditional breakfast and picking up where they, the previous operators, left off," said Bilski. Among new dishes to be added to the lunch menu are some including chorizo, a Mexican sausage. Both the restaurant and bait shop area have been undergoing remodeling. Bilski said they plan to make more room for supplies for campers. The restaurant and bait shop have been open on a limited basis. Bilski said they started renting kayaks after Mother's Day, and they have been popular. The boat rental has both tandem and solo sit-on-top kayaks, as well as canoes and non-motorized John boats. Solo kayaks rent for $15 an hour. Tandem kayaks, canoes, and John boats rent for $20 an hour. John boats also can be rented all day for $60. And at Starved Rock, with Memorial Day weekend being the traditional kickoff for summer, state, county, and community parks are expected to see a lot of visitors. Officials at Starved Rock State Park near Utica caution that traffic delays are possible and the park may need to be closed temporarily if parking lots reach capacity. Parking along park roads and public highways is prohibited, and illegally parked cars will be towed, officials said. Buffalo Rock State Park, which is across the Illinois River from Starved Rock, remains closed because of severe damage caused by a tornado earlier this year. The two buffalo at the park were not hurt by the storm, park officials said. And a sidebar tells us, if you go, what? Moraine View Restaurant and Boat Rental. Summer hours, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. Phone, 866-724-6398. Website, www.moraineview.com. And email, fun@moraineview.com. And here's some more restaurant news, headlined, Brewery Opening on Tap. Distilled to offer tours of site on Greenbrier, Tasting Room to debut. By Derek Bay. Normal. 3 days before the opening of his company's new brewery and tasting room, Distill founder and CEO Matt Potts was already thinking ahead. "My nature is to keep growing. I'll get bored and we'll move on to the next project," he said at a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Wednesday. "This is just a start." Distill's new production brewery is already operating, but the attached tasting room will open on Saturday. Distill also will offer brewery tours starting then. Potts said the $14 million, 47,000 square foot production facility and 6,300 square foot beer hall at 1200 Greenbrier Drive is the culmination of his work with the company so far, including opening a normal restaurant in 2007 and beginning brewery distribution out of Bloomington in 2013. "Our anchor is firmly planted, and we firmly planted it even more here," he said. "We don't have a production cap because we got grandfathered out of state laws, which means that we can keep growing in this community, which is going to be a great thing for Distill and a great thing for the town." The brewery, he said, has helped Distill push up to 20 states for distribution with a better, more consistent product, and he hopes to grow its capacity. The former brewery at 1616 General Electric Road, which will be a warehouse until its lease expires, enabled Distill to produce 15,000 barrels annually versus 150,000 at the new site, with possible growth past 200,000. The new facility also will add to DeSeal's staff, creating 70 new jobs and possibly twice that many within the next decade. Potts said Wednesday the company will soon have more than 300 employees across three facilities. DeSteel also operates restaurants at 318 South Towanda Avenue in Normal and at 301 North Neal Street in downtown Champaign, which have small on-site brewing facilities. While the Tasting Room will offer food, both restaurants are slated to stay open. During the ribbon-cutting ceremony, Potts thanked many who helped make the brewery possible, including his wife, Lynn, who bought the home brewing kit that helped him move from attorney to brewer, his business partners, the architect, contractor, and bank on the project, and state and local officials. He specifically thanked officials for adding the land to the local enterprise zone. That change allowed DeSteel to get about $150,000 in state tax credits for the project. The town hopes DeSteel can be a catalyst for further development in Northeast Normal. Mayor Chris Coos said the facility is an example of what happens in great communities where people have faith in the community they're in and make a bold move. Obviously, I thank all our guests that love our restaurants since 2007 and have been loyal guests since then, said Potts, who got choked up during the event. People loving what we did is how we got where we are today. And a sidebar tells us, if you go, DeSteel's Brewery and Tasting Room at 1200 Greenbrier Drive, which opens Saturday, will open 11 a.m. every day and close 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and 9 p.m. Sunday. Regular tours will run 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday to Friday and noon to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. It offers a 20-minute free tour and a $7 45-minute tour with samples daily, plus bi-monthly brewer's tours that cost $75 and last 2 hours, including dinner with a beer pairing. Private tours are also available. The next story is entitled, Man Pleads Guilty to 2 Counts of Battery. Former ISU student sees rape charges dropped in plea deal. By Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. A former Illinois State University student pleaded guilty to misdemeanor battery Wednesday in a plea agreement that dismissed sexual assault charges against him involving 2 women. William Yang was placed on 12 months of conditional discharge for 2 counts of battery related to separate incidents on September 9th and October 23rd, 2015. Yang's jury trial on rape charges ended in a hung jury in March, with jurors deadlocked, 11-1 in favor of acquittal. The alleged victim in the October 2015 incident read an emotional victim impact statement Wednesday, in which she continued her assertion that she was sexually assaulted by the 19-year-old defendant. You don't know me, said the woman, telling Yang. When you raped me, you might as well have taken my life. The reluctance some women express in reporting sexual assault is understandable, said the woman, pointing to her experience of having her behavior scrutinized as her case moved through the criminal justice system. From day one, I was blamed for my actions, said the woman. The perception that rape suspects are creepy old men jumping out of bushes is a fallacy, according to the woman's statement. Rather, it's the nice man who doesn't want girls to walk home alone, said the alleged victim, referring to her allegation that Yang sexually assaulted her after offering to escort her back to her residence hall after the two met at a party. Sitting at a table with defense attorney Stephanie Wong, Yang had no visible reaction to the woman's closing remarks, calling for better conduct on his part in the future. I hope you use this to better yourself. Please, let me be the last girl, she said. Yang said during testimony at his March trial that he was unaware of any issues the woman had with their encounters with him until he was contacted by police. In a statement of facts to support the battery charges filed Wednesday, Assistant State's Attorney Christian Alferink said Yang engaged in insulting conduct by holding the victim's shoulders. Here's a public safety item about a bus crash. There were no injuries reported following a crash between a school bus and a vehicle Wednesday afternoon in Normal. The crash was reported around 2:55 p.m. at the intersection of North School Street and Orlando Avenue. Police said 11 students were on the first student bus, but none appeared to be injured. Unit 5 school officials were called to the scene. Details on the accident were not yet available. We always take precautions in situations like this, but we believe that there were no injuries, said Unit 5 spokeswoman Dana Brown. And here is some state news entitled Child Welfare Agency Issues Eyed. Springfield. Testimonies at a legislative hearing have revealed investigators with Illinois' Child Welfare Agency face high caseloads and feel pressured to quickly wrap up abuse investigations. The Chicago Tribune reports that a panel of experts and lawmakers spoke Tuesday about issues at the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. The hearing came after the newspaper highlighted four cases in which children died of beatings or starvations soon after the department closed investigations of mistreatment at their homes. Department Director George Sheldon said the newspaper's reports propelled him to request the agency's general counsel to review whether Illinois laws should be changed to allow the department to keep records of past unproven abuse allegations. The agency currently expunges and shreds files if it determines there is no credible evidence of abuse or neglect. And here's an item from the Daily Digest entitled, Safe Ride Tickets Available. Lincoln. From Friday through Monday, anyone who overindulges at a Lincoln bar may ask the bartender for a safe ride ticket, which entitles the person to a free taxi ride home within Lincoln city limits. The taxi rides are paid for by the Healthy Communities Partnership. And another item from Daily Digest is entitled, Sweech Wins SIU Contest. Bloomington. Pantograph Health Editor Paul Sweech has won second place in the annual Polly Robinson Feature Story Contest, sponsored by the Southern Illinois University School of Journalism. Sweech was recognized for With Six Survivors, It Remains a Family of Eight, a story about a Bloomington Normal man and woman who lost their spouses to cancer, met at a grief share support group, fell in love, and married, blending their two families. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for May 25th. Please stay tuned.